Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 708. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
So earlier this week, the Supreme Court of Colorado declared that elephants are not people, which I find hilarious considering how we just swore one in as president.
I was going to sound okay. I thought that was going to go. I didn't think we needed an eagle precedent.
Was the first half of that true?
Yes. There's an environmental group that sued the zoo in Colorado because they said they were violating the elephants' rights because they weren't giving them enough grazing space. This lawsuit's been going on for 2 years, went all the way to the Colorado Supreme Court.
And they were like, there's no standing for elephants.
Elephants, no, they can't sue.
That's
elephants,
funny.
As elephants can't sue.
Earl is here as well.
And I am also walking in very slow motion towards this podcast.
And Jeff is here.
And I am also, you can't see it, but I'm doing a salute. Very weird gesture over here.
No weird gestures, Jeff. Jeez. Keep your autism in check. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's been a wild ass week.
Just getting started.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like,
one day at a time.
I think that's the only way to do it. But it is the only way to do it, but also, like, I mean,
we shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
All right. Not my fault.
It's none of our fault.
No.
I think we all basically tried to stop it.
It's people who wanted apparently cheaper eggs and everything but this week. So
they're still up there.
They're still pretty expensive. In fact, the price
they
are going
more
up.
Expensive. Yeah.
This Trump economy is really killing me, man.
I went to get eggs and I think the cheapest ones I saw were like $5 for a dozen.
And, yeah.
But I saw some for 14 and I almost passed out in this. Hey, those are like the hot, but I'm still $14 for eggs is insane.
I'm really bad at
eggs.
I'm really bad at looking at prices at the grocery store sometimes. And like notice that like eggs were like expensive. Like my wife is like, do you know how much, like, I think she bought like not a dozen, but like 18. Is that a size you can get?
Yeah, 18.
Yeah.
She's like, it was like $7-something. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, it's weird though, because I have noticed, like, for whatever reason, I've noticed cereal just costs a ton now. Like, it's just like, why is cereal $7 for a box of cereal? What the fuck? It's garbage. It's a box of sugar.
And it costs them like 75 cents to make that box of sugar.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know which one of you said it. Jeff, I think it was you who said that, like, you know, the price has not gone down since he took office. And I saw people, like, you know, people making comments like that, like, why aren't my eggs cheaper, motherfuckers? Like, you know, just being snarky.
Day one.
And, yeah, and, like, these people are like, well, you know, you can't do it immediately. Like, he said it was, and you guys blamed Biden, like, as soon as he took office for gas prices. Like,
yeah.
There were stickers on, like, the week he took office on
also,
my gas station.
You know, this is kind of on Trump for, like, the way he oversells everything. He's like, I'm going to end the war with fucking Ukraine before I'm even elected or I'm even in office. Well, I'm just going to start holding him to the standards of what he fucking says. Like, what happened, bro?
Yeah, I love how there are also we need to follow the law with everything that's going on. You know, they love spouting that line and then we just pardon.
Yeah.
All the fucking January 6th. Like, dude, you know.
Him getting asked about it is just like, give me that for like a couple months at least. Like, because he's just like, they've been in there a long time. It's like, no, they haven't. Like, that's his like kind of way. Like, when they asked him about like, you committed people like, or you pardoned people who like attacked police officers and did this and this and that. And then he's just like, oh, well, you know, most of them did nothing. The ones that did, like, they've been in there, like, it's time for this to end. It's like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, at most, some of them have been there like a year. Like,
and, you know? I mean, they committed literally a violent felony. Like, it might not have been all your, like, it's dumb. It's dumb.
Yep. There's a lot of stupidity. I feel a lot more to come. And it's like, some of it is just like he just says dumb shit or does dumb shit to kind of distract from the actual bad shit he's doing.
Yeah. But with nothing like it's like, you know, the prices are not going to come down.
And, no.
And when that doesn't happen, if we're not going to get the satisfaction of people being like, oh, it's going to be like his committed supporters anyways are going to be like, it's Biden's fault somehow. So like, you know what I mean? Like, there'll be some excuse.
Always there's is. Always.
Yeah.
Anyway.
America was good. It was a good ride.
Everything's burning. but, you know, keep your mind busy while everything's on fire. And that was a bad analogy because California is literally on fire.
Literally on fire, yes.
So, yeah, well.
Analogy then.
Fuck, that's just the thought of California. And then I thought of the fucking ambassadors to Hollywood. Jesus Christ.
I saw someone making fun of climate change or something today. I'm like, really? Right now is where when you're right. Going to like.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, Xbox had a thing today.
Thinking of things that are on fire. But
I actually thought it was a really good show.
Yeah, and I came out of it super surprised because I thought, you know, oh, this is going to be the lineup for the year. Like, this is it. Like, and, you know, they didn't have Avowed, but that's out in a month, so they have Avowed, these other three big games, and then the secret game that we didn't know about. That's going to be their lineup through the whole year. Like, and half of these games, like one of them, I think South of Midnight was already kind of late, like kind of speculated to be coming out in April, May period. But I thought Doom was going to be later, like way later, fall, winter.
It could have worked as a big holiday release.
Yeah. And I really didn't know. I didn't know how Expedition 33 was that far along. So,
right.
I was kind of surprised by that too. All of those games are out before the end of May.
Hell yeah!
And it was already a packed spring. Like, it's crazy how many games there are now.
Absolutely nuts. They kicked off showing Ninja Gaiden 4. That one is the only one that's fall 2025. It's also not a Xbox developed game. It's Team Ninja and Platinum working on it,
but they are publishing it, apparently.
Xbox is publishing it. That's neat. I mean, I guess, like, since they're bringing everything everywhere anyway, it'll end up on PlayStation at some point. Maybe not right away, but
why can't I speak? Ninja Gaiden, right?
Yeah, yeah. Team Ninja is publishing it, right? But or Koei Tecmo?
I think everything but not South of Midnight. Is it South of Midnight or X? All of them, I think, were announced at PC and PlayStation as well.
Okay.
And I think they were on the stream.
I just thought they were Game Pass.
Yeah, South of Midnight is Xbox and PC only. I think everything else was announced as, like, Doom. Today, I think it's also out on PlayStation. Well, not Doom, Ninja Gaiden. Wow, my brain is fried this week. Yes, Ninja Gaiden is being published by Xbox, and it's also coming out on PlayStation and PC the same time in the fall.
So, yeah, Ninja Gaiden this fall, and then they shadow dropped Ninja Gaiden 2 Black, which is a remake of Ninja Gaiden 2. Which was an Xbox 360 game. And Earl, yes, you said you needed a map of the Ninja Gaiden games. So.
And I think I figured it out. Is apparently this is a franchise that's very, very, very big into just releasing the same handful of games under different brandings.
Sure.
Because I'm looking at it. And, you know, the original Ninja Gaiden's disc 1, 2, and 3, which is on NES.
Yep.
And then there's whatever of that.
Then there's like a remake on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah. But then there's Ninja Gaiden X, and then Ninja Gaiden Black. Ninja Gaiden Black is just a, I guess what we'd call, just really like DLC at the time for Ninja Gaiden. Then there's Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
It's like a game of the year. It's like that, you know, it came out on the Xbox, so it's like more like a game of the year edition with like a harder difficulty level.
Yes, and then Ninja Gaiden Sigma is Ninja Gaiden again, but I think this is when it was ported to the PlayStation.
Yes, and not just so PlayStation 3, so the next generation, because
this is on the
so two generations, because Ninja Gaiden was originally an Xbox game.
Yes, and then Sigma is a PS3 game, so that'd be Xbox 360. That'd be one generation.
Okay, So Xbox and PS2, yes, they match up. So yes, one generation, next generation, it transfers to PS3, which was Ninja Gaiden Sigma, and Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2.
But that's where I got, because there's Ninja Gaiden 2, then there's Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2. And I thought, like, because I was looking at this, I was just looking at Wikipedia, I thought Sigma was like a separate brand. But no, Sigma 2 is just like a Game of the Year edition of Ninja Gaiden 2.
Yes.
And then Ninja Gaiden 2 Black is like the definitive edition of Ninja Gaiden 2.
Yeah, it's also a full-on remake in Unreal. So, but yes, it is.
But yes, I was just looking at this. I'm like, I do not understand this. It's like, is it Ninja Gaiden, Black, and Sigma 2, three different things? And then it's like, no, they're all just kind of the same thing.
There was a Ninja Gaiden Black before, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
That was just Ninja Gaiden.
I need charts and graphs now, too.
So Ninja Gaiden Black is just a, like, it's like a game of the year. It's like improvements, new, like, I think.
Okay, so there was a Black of the original, and now there's a Black of two.
Yes.
So there's 3D Ninja Gaiden, then there was Ninja Gaiden Black, which is just like, you know, it's
a game of the year
edition, like harder difficulty.
Yeah, that's what I needed.
New, I think you could play as the lady character as well in that one. And then Ninja Gaiden 2, which was a 360 game. Then Sigma 2, which was, well, Sigma and Sigma 2 on the PlayStation 3. Then Ninja Gaiden 3, I think just across the board was on both. And now Ninja Gaiden 4 and Ninja Gaiden Black. Ninja Gaiden 2 Black.
And just a minor addition in there too, just because the naming convention, you know, because then like Ninja Gaiden 3, like you said, was on PlayStation, I think 3 and Xbox 360 at the time. Mm-hmm. Then got ported to the Wii U a year later. As Ninja Gaiden 3 Racer's Edge. So for some reason, that ditched the Sigma.
That yes, brand. That is the that's the game of the, because that also got released, I believe, on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 as well.
Yes,
That version. And then, you know, just to make things even more complicated, there's another Ninja Gaiden game coming out sometime this year called Rage Bound, which is a return to the side scrolling. Style of that game,
which they also did on the PlayStation 4. I think the Yaba Ninja Gaiden Z.
Yes,
it was. I was just looking at this, and my brain was like, I need to understand this because I didn't think there was that many Ninja Gaiden games. And there isn't. There's just a lot of the same ones being repeated for different console generations. And I mean, credit to them. They stick to the name and they stuck to the name convention for the most part. It's just really confusing to see Ninja Gaiden, Ninja Gaiden Sigma, Ninja Gaiden Black, and see Ninja Gaiden 2, Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and Ninja Gaiden Black 3. 2. Sorry.
Yeah. But that one's out now, Ninja Gaiden 2 Black.
Okay, and my one complaint, because I was watching somebody stream it earlier today, I was like, oh, I want to download this. It's like a ton of fun. I don't think I've ever really paid any of the 3D ones. Is we need to do, like, this game is 90 gigs.
Oh, the new one is the Black 2? Or 2 Black?
Whatever it is. At least I think it's 90 gigs, because I didn't have enough space on my Xbox, and they tell you to, you know, remove X number of space, but some of that sometimes is just to make sure you have more than enough. But I'm like, I didn't have any room because I still need to play Indiana Jones. I only have like 8 games on my Xbox hard drive right now.
It's ridiculous, dude. These file sizes are out of control, man.
It's insane.
You know what? Nintendo puts out great games that are like 4 gigs. Like, I don't understand. I think I don't know if you guys explained it to me or whatever, but it's like a lot of it is dedicated to the sound. And I'm like, I don't know, Zach, compress it. I don't know. Do something.
They don't. That is very specifically why Call of Duty is so big, is they don't compress the sound.
Compress it. I won't notice. I promise you this.
There's a lot of games that don't compress anything. They don't compress the assets, which, you know, part of it great, but other part of it is, hey, I was just thinking, like, I think the Xbox Series X and I think the PS are both terabyte hard drives by default. By the time you do the OS and stuff, it gets down to like 700 or something like that. But it's insane that you can't. I don't know if the PlayStation, but you can't play Xbox Series X games off of an external. It all has to be on the actual console, right?
Or so you can if you have one of the expansion,
which are expensive.
Thing. Yeah, they're like $150 or something like that. There's like it's like a memory card basically that plugs into a special port in the back of your Series X.
I'm gonna make do with like what they give you, but it's constantly annoying. Like I'm constantly juggling.
Yeah, I mean,
especially like for the expensive one that
it's
very nice.
Like some of my favorite games are so huge that like, you know, like I don't want to delete Baldur's Gate 3. Well, that's huge. Chunk of my dedicated space there. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that's a huge file. Like, just so I have a Series S upstairs, like that the kids use mostly for like watching TV and shit, and I have like Rock Band on it. But if I were to install Call of Duty and Indiana Jones, that would take up the entire hard drive space on that thing.
Well, that's like another good example. It's like Call of Duty. It's like you don't want to delete it because you want to be able to play the multiplayer or whatever. And it's like, man, this thing's just like holding up space. And I think, you know, I might soon have to delete that one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we don't talk about it often, but, you know, I follow Matt Pescatella, the NPD dude, and I think Chris Sterling, who does. And you see that a lot of the games that year over year are like Fortnite, Roblox, Call of Duty, GTA, are kind of not just the best sellers, but they're the games that continue to get the most engagement hours. And I think part of that is, to Jeff's point, there are games you just keep on, and it's like, I have maybe 100, 150 gigs to play around with every so often, where I can move some games around. So you are like, do I want to get rid of something right now, or am I just going to forego this game for the time being because I don't have, I don't know. I mean, I guess I think I got rid of Overwatch. I don't play that often, but you know, like Halo Master Chief Collection is also a very big guilty one.
Oh yeah.
And that one is, it's hard because I do, you know, I don't play it all the time, but it is fun to go back every so often and play like the campaign or the multiplayer, and you don't want to have to download it constantly, but it just sucks up so much space. So much space.
I checked the file size on Black 2 early, and it's 82 gigs on PC, so it's a huge game. So those two were announced first, then they went into some games that we already knew about. South of Midnight is coming April 8th. It's like kind of an action platformer set in like the bayou. Looks really cool. I don't think it's going to do very well, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it was one of those. I mean, I'm happy it's on Game Pass. It's one of those things where I'm like, oh, I'd check this out, but I don't think I would buy it. I mean, I'm really happy for that part of the region to be explored. I don't think we often see it in games.
Right.
And I mean, honestly, just, you know, support Black women. So I'm sure there's going to be people who are, but whatever.
Yeah.
Just against it because
of that. But like, I think the game looks really cool, has a really cool style to it. She kind of has this kind of Green Lantern ability to like conjure shit. So at one point she like conjures like a stagecoach and pushes it through like a gate. Like it's pretty cool. We'll see how the combat works out, but I think it looks really neat.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Then they, I think next was Expedition 33. I guess Claire Obscure Expedition 33. I think we heard about this game previously. It looked cool. Like,
yeah, I thought for some reason it was a Sony exclusive. It is not.
Yeah, no.
And it's on Game Pass, so it's even better.
Yep.
Oh, so it's not them?
Let's see. Who makes this game? Firewalk? I'll just look up the game. Claire Obscure.
Then Hall Interactive. Published by Kepier Interactive. I don't know either of these companies.
I think it's all brand new.
Yeah, I don't have any information on them really.
Okay, so that takes away my one complaint. It's weird to have you mentioned all of these games out by the end of May. These two are a week apart. I think it's April 8th and April 15th.
The April 24th, so
okay,
2 weeks, but 2 weeks. Still, point stands, like they are very close together for very different games, but also still very close together. And it's a turn-based RPG, looks really neat, kind of like a it's hard to describe the combat system because like it's turn based, but you can also there's some like real time stuff going on in it, and you can like dodge and parry attacks as well. But it is like JRPG turn based.
It looks so good. I did not watch this event at all today.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are, what looks good or whatever, but like, I remember seeing this when they first showed it, and I like, that was on my radar. I was like, that is something for next year. I'm really excited about it. It looks awesome.
Yep. And it is, it's coming very soon. So
yeah.
April 24th for that one. And then they closed out with, Doom the Dark Ages. Which, that's a Doom game.
It's not just a Doom. This one is all about standing and fighting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they got rid of all the kind of like the platforming stuff from Doom Eternal, which it's fine. I thought they went a little overkill with it in Eternal, but I liked it. Some of the stuff got a little bit out there at the end of that game, but this is
they kind of
replaced it with more giant battlefields.
Yeah, how they marketed it, which I thought was funny, is like in 2016 Doom was all about run and gun, and Doom Eternal we decided to change it up to I forget what they said, but basically jump. And then so what we wanted to try something different this time. So instead of running gun and whatever, it's stand and fight. And then so the big new addition is you kind of get a shield.
Okay.
A chainsaw.
Get a shield. There's some other cool stuff in there. Yes. Like at some point you're going to get like a mech.
Yes.
And a dragon?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to be able to like fly and control a dragon at some point, which looked really cool, but I don't know. I thought the bigger environments were, for me, Doom is, it's a corridor shooter. Like sometimes there's big environments, but normally those are like the boss levels. This is just like, here's this huge battlefield and you're going to move around it. And it's like, okay.
What's Halo now?
Yeah. But with way more enemies than you've ever seen in a Halo game. That was actually really impressive when they were showing that.
It was also very funny because sometimes, the enemy, there's that one gun that has to spread and literally all of the enemies like, we're just going to line a five across so that there's a perfect amount of us for your gun to shoot.
Yeah, I'm sure that was set up for
the demo.
It's like to make it look as cool as possible, but yeah, and that is May 15th. And it's launching on PlayStation 5 as well, so neat. It's a good show. Short, but a good show.
I mean, I think it's what it needed to be. I think they had, you know, like 5 games, 1 stealth drop today. I think they did a good job of managing expectations because we knew about 3 to 5 games, I should say, coming into this. They gave the developers a lot of time to actually talk you through their games and show gameplay footage. I think that's the benefit of having games that are so near release is you can actually show people what they're actually going to play. Like I said at the start of the intro, it is very funny. They had a lot of people walking in slow-mo for these walk-in talks. But I think they did a really good job. It did not overstay its welcome. It was, I think this is, I mean, easily the best developer direct I remember seeing from them.
Yeah.
And if this is the first half, I'm really curious to see what's in the back half of the year, because this does go until May, which means they have all of the summer, fall, winter to come.
Yeah, it's like this release is May 15th, which, you know, depending upon how they do not E3 this year, about a month or so after that is when we normally get the summer kind of, here's what's coming, folks, for the rest of the year. And then, you know, speculation on what's coming past that as well. But yeah, this packs up the year pretty tight in the first 5 months, because I think, Tony, you said what? So Monster Hunter, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
There's that Yakuza game.
Civilization, there's Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. There's such like so much stuff.
Yeah, Avowed, which is another
Avowed
game. Yeah, tons of stuff to play. It's gonna be a busy year for games, at least.
Feels like a fall.
Yeah, already.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Is I'm kind of curious because this is one of those years, which is great at the start because a lot of it is games that were supposed to be last year. So I'm hoping that the back half has stuff.
I mean, we're going to have Switch 2, so yes, there will be.
Will we? You can hope.
Yes. It's happening. They said it.
It could happen.
Like, we have literally, I mean, I guess we know that there's Mario Kart 9.
Yep. New Mario Kart coming.
But, yeah, I saw people.
I think it's going to be stacked.
Is it 9 or 10?
It would be 9.
I don't know if they count tours like a mainline Mario Kart.
No.
Okay. No, the tours are different because there's tour and then there's the arcade GP.
Yeah, the arcade one I understood. Don't count them. The arcade ones I understood because those weren't Nintendo. They were, I think, Namco?
Yeah.
But I think they do make tours. So I'm like, again, it's just something I saw pop up. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that. I just assumed, yeah, the next one would be 9, or if they
get the numbers, it's gonna be that.
It'll be really weird.
Like, remember, like, that was number 9 was tour.
That would be wild.
And again, I mean, to be fair, they didn't number them until 7, so they can ditch it.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows? Maybe we don't get. Maybe it's not Mario Kart 9 or 10. Maybe it's just like, you know, Mario Kart World. Like, people are speculating that it's
Mario Kart
World. Kind of like sure. Maybe they go back to naming them again. So we'll see. That's coming. Was there any other news before we jump into the stuff we've been playing?
There was the PlayStation. I don't think we touched on last week with what was it? They canceled a bunch of their games as services stuff.
Yes.
And then there was also the dude, not Jim Ryan, the guy who retired, Ted something, that retired from Insomniac Games.
Ted Price?
Yes, that sounds about right. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, he was like one of the founders of Insomniac.
He's retiring. And then a guy from Warner Bros. Interactive is leaving after, you know, putting in such a great position, according to him. And not because, like, the last few games he's released bombed big time. So,
yeah. I mean, Gotham Knights, Suicide Squad.
I mean,
is there something else in there?
They did have the, what's it called, which was successful, the Harry Potter, Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, that and Mortal Kombat 1 was successful too, I believe. At least critically. I don't know if it sold well, but yeah. So yeah, that PlayStation did in fact they canceled a bunch of their six live service games, I believe, is what they closed off. Including a Horizon MMO, a God of War game.
Yeah, God of. I think most of these were games of services. I think God of War. Then there's a Twisted Metal one in there as well. And then I think Viewpoint might have been. By a lot of different studios. Somebody did a list of it, and I'm not going to bother to find it. Because I completely forgot about this, that they had announced like a games as services initiative, I think 2 or 3 years ago. And somebody was going through and of the 12 games. Like, they announced 12 games, and not like by name, like the studios were. I think something like 7 of them are now dead. One of them, of course, was Concord, which is one of those. It came out, but.
Yeah.
So. Speaking of dead, I forget if Rusty. I think Jeff was a fan. Celeste?
Chris?
Celeste, yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
I didn't get very far.
But they were doing a spiritual successor called Earthblade, and that was canceled this week in a very fascinating letter. Essentially, they've been.
We all hate one another now and can't work together.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Kind of. So they mean, yes, but no.
They were doing their best to say it's not that reason.
Sure, it's not you, it's me.
How.
Yeah, it's not you, it's me.
They came, I guess there was dispute over who actually owned the Celeste IP or how payments would get doled out. So the artist was like, you know, fuck off. And he left, went and created his own studio and is doing his own thing, which they built up. They were like, hey, go play that. Like, we still love him. We love his team. We don't think we can work together. And yeah, 5 years they've been working on that since 2019. I hadn't realized that, but.
Yeah. It was very, very fascinating to read that letter. And again, kudos to them for saying it's not the other guy's fault. But you know, if you keep on saying it, people can
make it's everybody's fault.
It's the other guy's fault, though.
Well, it also sounds like
they consciously uncoupled. That's what happened.
They yeah. It also sounds like they didn't know how to run at a bigger scale. It's like they had hired people, which it seems like that they're no longer going to be staffing them. It's just that the original two guys are just going to go back to making small games again. It sounded like they were kind of like conceptualizing in their head. They had to do something way bigger than Celeste. Yes.
And I think that
hurt them.
Like, people enjoy just or don't have to go and we have to go bigger and grand. You don't have the money for it. Not everything has to be 10 times as large or whatever. Speaking of expectations, Dragon Age: The Veilguard. I think this was. It wasn't just Dragon Age. What is it? EA FC25. EA came out this week and said that they will miss expectations because of softer than expected results from Dragon Age and EA FC25. They said Dragon Age, I think, has something like 1.5 million users in the first, 2.5 months. but that's about half what they were.
Not great.
Not great.
No. It's not bad.
It's not bad, but for a series that's that big, like,
is it that big still though?
I guess not. Like, that's
apparently kind of problem, not anymore. Right? Yeah, I mean, it has been a long time since the last one. Maybe they lost some fans.
And I think again, it was one of those things where they coming in the shadow of Baldur's Gate, where one, a lot of people got their fill of that actually with this big, massive game you can keep on playing, but it also changed how people thought of these games.
Right. And they kind of went away with the things that made it similar to Baldur's Gate 3. Like, they didn't emphasize those. It's like, we're making a more action-y game, and they keep getting more action-y, and it kind of just thins out the game and makes it less interesting.
But yeah, Jeff, you might be right. Maybe it's not that big anymore.
I think, you know, kind of what Tony's saying too, as part of it, it's just like, I don't know, like, there's been other things have moved into the genre that have, like, really stepped up, and so it's just like, you can't just put out this. Like, I have not played Valgar, so I don't know, but, like, from what I've heard, it's like, well, who is this satisfying? Like,
well, again, I think the problem is video games can't take 6 years to make anymore, because what is hot 6 years ago, it's not the same. And you can't see Baldur's Gate, like, we're going to pivot. You can't go back to the board in a year. So I'm sure like Tony said, it might get more actiony. But it is also the fact that there's a lot of stuff that came, I forgot when Inquisition came out, but that was on the
action. 10 years ago.
So yeah, like, a lot of stuff has changed in that 10 years. And you're still, I mean, and it's kind of the same thing that happened with Mass Effect Andromeda, is I don't think they know how to evolve it in a way that meets the demands of the current marketplace.
Like, they're still trying to chase the ideal of what they thought was good in like 2008.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, games have evolved beyond, like, you were groundbreaking at the time, you know, but now it's like it feels a little
dated. All those ideas that you came up with, they're in every game now if they were that good.
Yeah. So, like, and by the way, I hope a billion games rip off Baldur's Gate. Like, bring me more of this shit.
The problem, right? The problem don't to be, of course, like, if you're making a Baldur's Gate S game now that comes out in 2030, which would be what,
6 years?
I think some of it also, Earl, and I'll let you finish in a second, is that Baldur's Gate, like, Jeff is like, give me more of that. And the answer to give me more of that is that they make them on PC. Like,
yeah.
That's where those games generally are.
So I think you'll see people try to start porting them over to see if they can get that market.
Sure.
But yeah, and it's not, but again, it's also, I think you also just need to, like, have expectations. Again, I think 1.5, granted, it's the holiday season, that is the bulk of your sales. It's not a bad start, but it's not what they expected, and there's nothing to go around with that. I don't know EAFC enough to be like, apparently it was grown the previous 2 years, but I don't know if it was grown on the back of, it was grown from FIFA, or if it was like people who didn't know it was the FIFA replacement were like, oh, I'll check it out and I'll buy into it. And it's just like, okay, we played it. We don't need it. I didn't even know it came out. I assume it's annual, but I don't know anybody bought it, but we're also America's like the least football, soccer heavy country of the big major, I guess Japan's up there too, video game markets.
FIFA 23 was the last FIFA game. That was 2022.
Yeah, so then FC 23 and FC 24.
FC 24 was in 23, and FC 25 was the last fall.
Oh, then there's only 1 year of growth, so they were just sniffing their own paint.
I mean, I'm sure they're viewing it off of FIFA, so.
Yeah. But again, you're also using a brand, and
yeah,
I mean, the brand does a lot of work.
Did they release numbers for FC25? It did win best sports game at the Game Awards, I guess. Anyway, yeah, disappointing, I guess.
Well, I mean, EA makes bad sports games now. Yeah, blame it on that.
I agree.
I hear the college football game is fun. I'm kind of surprised it's not on Game Pass yet, though, because
the national championship
has happened. Like, I'm anticipating Madden, which I don't think I'll play, but I anticipate that like Super Bowl weekend, because that seems to be when they've released
it usually the last few years.
So I was kind of expecting College Football 25 to
be before hit
game,
then.
Yeah, hit Game Pass before the national championship, but maybe they have a deal that they can't put it on. Who knows? But yeah. So that's news. We're going to talk live action Mario in a minute, but before we get to that, what have you guys been playing? Actually, Jeff, I want to start with you.
Okay.
I know what you've been playing.
Okay.
And I want to hear about your change of heart with Indiana Jones and the
Really?
Great Circle. Oh, change of heart. I thought you wanted to hear about Path of Exile.
I'm good on that one.
For that's right mostly now. That's mostly what I've been playing is that still. But it was earlier this week. I was like, going back to our drive discussion, I was like, I need to play this game. So I don't want to delete it without playing it. Like, I wanted to play it. It's my hard drive. I got Avowed coming out soon. Like, let's try to give this another chance. And as soon as I did, I was having fun in what I think is like my favorite level in the game, which is Giza, like the Egypt. Giza,
yeah.
My favorite level in the game. It just feels, the theming feels right to it. And it's just like, you're just exploring all these tombs. You're like going into pyramids. The fucking graphics are amazing in the whole level. Like, but like, you like want to hear my change of heart. It's like, everything I've said about this game, I stand by. Like, and you know, part of what I said is like, I give it a lot of credit for not doing what you would expect from a big budget game like this. Like, you would expect it to be like this action packed, you know, kind of thrill ride. And like, I really appreciate the fact that they like allow it to be just like this kind of goofy adventure and like really like lean in into the, to the point where like the combat is just like barely there at all. That said, like everything else I said about the game, like I still feel all that. And you know what? I guess something new I could add is like, once Egypt, it becomes kind of like for a little bit, it becomes kind of the game that you expected, like a little bit where it's
two roller coaster levels.
Yeah. Like
very, very linear.
Yeah. Like kind of action packed. Although I really loved, I think when you're escaping from Shanghai,
yep,
you get in this plane and you're in the back of the plane and you're like facing out the back of the plane with a fucking gun, like a turret gun.
You shoot that shit tail.
It was like, again, like interactive movie almost to a point. Like, it was just so easy and there was just nothing going on to it, but it was just cool as fuck. Like, when you like are hanging by the whip and get into it, I guess the plane's like so damaged that you decide to like jump to another plane. That is really neat and cool. Like, it was fun. Just like, oh yeah, this is like kind of more like, that's what I thought at least when I was playing those levels. Like, I think before that is Himalayas. I think the name, like what they call the mission, is like a rough climb or something. This is like, that's kind of all it is. Like, you just kind of climb up this mountain. Like, it's also pretty short, and also like, you know, very scripted and stuff. But like, yeah, I don't see like what I am saying about the game when it does allow you to kind of dick around in these like larger levels, I got into the rhythm of to accept that the combat is just it is. I was kind of playing it like Donkey, where I would just be like, whatever, dude. I like would just throw something at someone's head and walk right by them, like fuck you, or just punch them a bunch of times and walk by. You know, like I never really had to. There's maybe one part where I had to treat the stealth a little serious. I want to say it was near the end of Himalayas. It was kind of tough. Like if you alerted the guys, it was kind of tough. It was like when you're on the top of the Himalayas.
Oh, when you get to the top of the ship,
it was like the part that they showed off of the game very early on.
Yeah, that because they all have weapons and like. Not really.
So like if you fuck around in that part, like I had to get it down to like I'm gonna push this guy off the edge, I'm gonna go around the backside, follow this guy, get him, I'm gonna go like I had to actually like learn it. I was like, this is very weird because the whole rest of the game, all of this is like I guess you could try to play that way if you want, but it doesn't matter. Like you know what I mean? Like here it actually like you kinda had to like plot it out and take it seriously because they would all just like swarm you.
It's also the one spot where, and I mean a couple other times enemies will do it, but most of the time if you are just punching people, that's how they'll interact with you as well.
Yeah.
It's not until you pick up a gun that they start to shoot you. So like in that particular level though, like doesn't matter if you're punching them or not, like they're gonna shoot you. So
yeah, there was like one guy at the top of the stairs. Like you go up some stairs, just like if he has been, he's fucking hitting you with a shotgun, and it's kind of a like one shot and you're dead. But I'm happy. I'm playing through it. There's things I appreciate about it, but like, there's so many things where I'm like. Why would you do this way? Like, even so, like, even down to like very basics, like the first person perspective, I'm just like, why? Because, like, anytime you want to like see something cool, they have to shift it to third person. It's just like, why did you just do the game in third person, man? Like, what like, the fuck?
You want to see Indy swing? We're gonna zoom it back because you want to see Indy swing because, of course, you do.
So there's like a million things like that, and like, I just disagree.
On the other hand, they do handle those transitions super well.
Yeah, they're great.
Like, the game doesn't break. The camera doesn't break, so you can't see, which is what you see in a lot of those games.
They're fine, but it's just like one of those things where I'm like, what do you think that this added? I guess maybe they're more comfortable with first person. I don't know, but like... and again, it is like that big budget, like we're trying to do a movie game, so like... I just got to the final level tonight and like literally watched a cutscene that felt like it was like 20 minutes long. And I was just like, well, I guess I'm done now. I'm going to go fucking do something else because that was forever. I don't care. And like, I guess, you know, for people who do story and game, love Indiana Jones, maybe this is like a good, like, I think you guys said that actually is a good Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I really like it as an Indiana Jones story.
But it's just like, I'm just like, I just fundamentally disagree with that type of design anymore, and I'm just like, again, it's not a thing I love about it, but I'm like, when you actually let me get down to business in this, it's kind of neat just goofing around as Indy. And it's, despite the fact that the levels seem to go on for fucking ever, at least, you know, Vatican and Giza, the game seems very short. Like, I'm already... I think near the end, like I maybe have a couple hours left, Chris.
Where are you right now?
You're in the jungle area.
Yeah, I guess I got past Shanghai. The
jungle area is very large, and there's another area after that.
Yeah, it's a short. Okay. The area after that is shorter, but
very short. Yeah.
So you know what? A couple hours, like
a few. Yeah, like that. Yeah. And if you want to go do, like, I think some of the side missions there are fun. Like, I think the temples in the jungle area are maybe the best.
Okay, cool. I really did like the ones in Giza. I thought that shit was very, go ahead.
There's a lot of, like, you know, mechanisms that are moving and stuff. And, like, so, like, there's, like, a lot of that stuff in the jungle area that are really neat. Especially if you go do, like, the they're not. I don't know, what are they? What do they call them, Tony? They weren't like missions. They weren't called side quests, but they had like a different name. Investigations, maybe.
Yeah.
There's like some cool ones, like neat stories in them too, like where, you know, the guy in the village is like, hey, I need you to go find my nephew or something. And if you go find him, like, he's into archaeology and he somehow got stuck in one of the temples and like you have to help him get out. But in doing so, like, you have to solve the puzzle. There's another one where you run into one of your old students that she's now working with the Nazis. And
like, I found her very attractive, almost disarming.
That's a funny joke, Tony. I think there's like some really neat stuff in there, and those missions, those levels are pretty cool. There's a whole main story mission that is, it's like a lot of platforming. You're gonna have to like learn to throw spears at mushrooms and shit so you can use your whip to swing across stuff, but and there's a really cool giant fight with a snake. So
okay.
There's some cool stuff in that final area. Well, the final pub area.
One thing I loved, again, like I think my favorite level so far is the Giza one. And when you get into that level, like it, a lot of it just feels like very Zelda-ish. Which I guess, like, yeah, Tomb Raider and stuff like that feels kind of like Zelda too, but doing the mirror puzzles from Zelda, and I found those all to be very, I found those all to be like very fun to figure out and also like intuitive. Like, I very rarely had to like look up what to do. I'd be like, oh yeah, I know, I have to somehow get into this other room where I could see that there's like a mirror panel. I have to like go around and you know what I mean, like
find the thing all, and crawl under.
And then, like, you kind of lose yourself in the adventuring at that point. So, like, that was very good. All in all, like, again, I don't hate it. There's just a lot of things about it that are, like, just not what I'm into anymore. But it's decent. It's decent. I will see it to the end. I'm determined. I'm determined to get this thing off my hard drive by the end of next week. Free up 150 fucking gigs.
Yeah, I think you will definitely if you're off next week. No, it's like, you know, you're like, I didn't really change my mind on it, but the way you were violently opposed to this game.
Well, it's very like I bet you I'd feel the same way about Spider-Man if I played it. But like the way these types of games start off are shooting me now, where it's just like, dude,
you just want
to get trying to do a movie. Like, put me into a level and then build your story. It's just so fucking boring to start off. It's terrible at that. Like, the new one where it's like you're going to play basketball, you're riding your bikes, and you're just like, dude, I don't like, maybe, like, again, in my opinion, this is like a type of way that games were like over 10 years ago, and they should not be like this anymore. But apparently, like, they're just never going to stop. Like, this is a type of game that's apparently
popular. It's insanely popular. Like, these are the games that sell the most every year. Like, I mean, just look at how, like, Sony has built their entire kind of library on these types of games.
I think it's very stale and very, like, outdated. Like, don't do that. Like, I don't know. Like, there's ways to, like, inject story in the games that like,
I'm interested just because you liked Red Dead 2, right?
No.
Okay.
I was like, maybe the beginning of me realizing that, like, I don't like this type of game.
Like, I felt like I did not get past. I think I was still, like, in the tutorial is like 40 hours long in that game.
Yeah. That's like
I think I was still in the tutorial section, like, when I quit on it. I'm wondering how you're going to take GTA 6.
It's part of why I'm, like, not super, just, like, when I look at, like, Rockstar Games, I'm like, I think, like, that type of game is, like, outdated at this point. Like, I hate to say it, like, you can push the tech all you want, but I feel like that's just an outdated idea of like how a game should be. And I feel like, you know, I hate to like keep harping on this like same things, but like games like Dark Breath of the Wild kind of reset. You know, you can still have like an interesting story, but like, dude, get me into the fuck. Like, let's go, dude. I bought like, if I like wait up to midnight to play your game, I don't want to be bored for fucking 45 minutes before I get to actually like walk through a level, and then you're telling me, you know, press the right stick to look around, and then you're like walking around and someone's talking to you, and you're like, dude, this sucks. I guess I'm going to bed. Like, fuck that shit, dude. Throw me in the fucking throw me on a map. Let me figure it out. And then like you could prompts, and then like you could pepper in the story a little bit. Like, it's just, I don't know. I hate how boring like the big AAA games are at the beginning. A lot of them are like this, but Call of Duty fucking knows to give you some fucking explosions. God damn it.
To be fair to Call of Duty, it's only a 6-hour game.
Like, yeah.
They spent 45 minutes with a movie at the beginning, like the game would be almost over.
Yeah.
You play anything else besides indie? I mean, we know you played Path of Exile.
But, yeah, I played a lot of Path of Exile too. Did I play anything? You want to hear something interesting? I didn't play this, but I downloaded Marvel Midnight Suns because it was like $10.
Ooh.
Is that good? Is it a good game?
I love it. I think it's great. I don't know that you love it, but
I'm interested to hear what Jeff's opinion of it.
I have a feeling I really enjoy it. It's like card based strategy RPG, right?
Strategy tactical, yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling I very much enjoy it. That's why I was like,
I do wonder though, like, is there a lot of story, Tony?
It's like, very talky. It's incredibly talky.
Is there a skip button?
I don't know, because I enjoyed the story, so I didn't really try.
Probably hit skip.
It depends on like how the story's told, because I'm not.
It's true.
I'm not huge into stories, but like if it's something where it's like, oh, it's a sense of humor and it's not that often.
I doubt a Marvel game is going to be the one where I'm like, oh, yeah. But, yeah, I just, based on like what the type of game it is, pretty safe gamble, especially at $10. Like, you know, it's like, they're like, normally priced $70. I'm like, all right, $10, sure.
Where was it $10? Where is it $10?
It was on Xbox, and I think it's over now. It was like the only interesting thing that was on sale last week.
A holiday sale.
It was just the, you know, sale of the week, deal of the week, whatever. Oh, okay.
It'll probably drop to that price again, Earl.
Yeah, and I don't know. If I beat Indiana Jones, maybe I'll get to it. I'm still pretty I'm still pretty like heavily playing Path of Exile and Balatro. I'm trying to like dig deeper into Balatro. But that's the next one. Before Avowed, yeah, exactly. We'll see. I mean, maybe it'll suck me in and I'll be like, fuck Avowed. Avowed could wait. I gotta play this Marvel card game.
Earl, did you play anything this week?
Not anything new, but something old I went back to. I think we had talked about last week during, I mean, Game of the Year, but also during the Switch 2 reveal. I said how I think, you know, like if there's a 3D Mario game, I could see it being like Bowser's Fury. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about, I actually just wanted to check out Bowser's Fury again. I hadn't played it since it came out. I don't think I actually beat it at the time. So I went back to that, and it's a fantastic little experiment. My two chief concerns are, Bowser is not a very interesting boss constantly, and they need a way for you to control that. Even he's like, he shows up, I think he's on a timer of sorts.
Yeah,
like every 3 to 4 minutes or something like that. So now I'm in the post game, so I've beaten him already. So I just need him to show up every so often so that I could do certain stuff that I need the Bowser state to be in. And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm going to sit around here until he shows up again. Like, there's the, Lucky Island, I think is what they call it. Where, like, it's the golden island that pops up, you during his fury phase. but you get one cat shine and it disappears, and there's like six of them on there. So then you have to go chase it down again, and if you find it during something else, you know, like it pretty much I got to give up or whatever I'm doing here to go do this thing because I need him to break it. And then I was like, oh, you know, let me just fight him to get rid of it. I didn't realize in the post game, if you fight him again, you have to do the entire final boss battle, which means that like, you have to fight him and then you have to do the chase on Jesse, which isn't bad. I mean, it's like I can do it, but I'm like, I don't want to go through this whole 10-minute thing. I want to get rid of him quicker. But outside of that, I think it's a great format for a Mario game. I would really like to see them expand out on it, have a bit more diverse bosses, a way to control Fury Bowser, or maybe have other like different islands and different areas have something else that gets triggered on that time frame that can help you. On that same note, because I was just in a mood for it, I was in, you know, like I'm in platformer mood. So I went back and I'm playing through or trying to play through Sonic Mania, which I still think is probably the best Sonic game in recent memory. I know Jeff is a huge fan of Frontiers. I still need to put more time into that. And I've not played a ton of Sonic Superstars. It's nice. I really don't know why he ditched this style. Though. It's like I love the hand drawn look of it. I love the animation of it better than like Sonic in 3D. But yeah, Sonic Mania Mario, and I've just gotten the itch. Like I might download Tropical Freeze next. Who knows?
Not a Donkey Kong Country remake returns came out again. This past week, I think.
Yeah.
Or it's coming out this week.
It came out, I think, last week.
Yeah. So. All right, Tony, do you play anything this past week?
A lot of NBA 2K25. I'm kind of addicted now.
Okay.
The game now has a season pass. There's like different
levels. What does that get you?
So it's very similar. It reminds me a lot of the season pass in like Monster Hunter Now. There's like two different levels where like as you play through games, you get like some of the stuff you unlock is just like upgrades to like you get more experience or whatever. Some of it is stuff you can wear, like clothes and that kind of thing.
Okay, so it's like a kind of like a Fortnite battle pass or something like that.
Yeah, but if you pay for the premium edition, which is like $10,
yep.
Then leveling up in VC gets the actual VC, the currency that lets you upgrade your player.
Oh.
Which it's and it is much cheaper to get that VC via the battle pass than it is to actually buy it. So it's a little tempting because it's only like I'm already playing through the battle pass. I'm getting excited about it, and then if I pay like $10, I get enough to like upgrade my player like a lot. Because like if you complete the battle pass, it's like 40,000 VC, yeah. Which is like
that's a lot.
$35 worth. It gets a lot
for like $10. It's just, and really the only commitment is you're playing the game, which you're already doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool.
So I'm going to see how far I can get through like the current season, and then I'll consider buying the actual season pass. It has like there are challenges that it adds to it every day. It's just kind of cool like quests that it's constantly throwing at you. I don't know. I didn't realize this would improve my basketball experience, but it has.
All right. Well, maybe level up your season pass, and then like when it gets, you're like, yeah, I'm almost at the end, you can then just pay the $10 and
get all the VC at once. 40.
Yeah. Just I got it all now. Then your player becomes really good. You play anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. I'll touch on three things real brief. Playing Starfield again, trying to actually finally finish it now. People are like harsh on that. It's a really good one of those types of games.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like I guess, you know, we'll see what you think at the end. I thought the story was cool.
It's a cool idea. Like right now I'm doing the faction stuff. And I think like that those go on some pretty cool. Like I did the can't remember what, but you basically embed with the pirates, but you're working as a double agent for the like the Navy, who are hunting them down. So like that's a pretty cool one. So like you're you know maintaining friendships with the pirate people, and then you're going back and reporting on them to the Navy. Or you don't have to, like, you know, you could also double cross the Navy people. I just finished the Free Star Rangers one, which is like a pretty cool like investigation type thing. That one ends pretty neat with like this billionaire dude. It turns out to be an asshole. He's like kind of like, oh, I take care of all these people, and like really he was just fucking everybody over. It's completely outlandish.
Would never happen in real life. Billionaires are nice people.
Absolutely not. So like it's this wonderful fantasy story.
Salute.
I do think I need to upgrade my ship. Did you guys like upgrade? Did you buy new ships at some point?
Oh, or? yeah, you need the new ones.
Yeah, it's like I'm still like rolling around in the frontier. I have a couple other ships, but they don't seem better. But like, evidently, the frontier and the other ships I have are like the lowest class of ship. There's like, I guess, like actual freighters that have shields and full on cannons. If you completed and stuff.
The Rangers one, though, you get a ship, don't you? That's really good.
I did, but it's like a fighter.
Yeah. You want more cargo space.
Yeah, it is like there's no cargo space in the frontier, and you can't carry anything. Anyway, I like it. It's like I liked it when I was playing it when it came out, and then I fell off of it for other games, and now I'm back into it. Like this is fun. Like it's a good one of those. But I'll check in when I finish it, Jeff. Let you know how it turns out. On Game Pass, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 is out there. I had actually bought this was on sale, I think before the holidays, maybe during the Black Friday sale. You get the super duper deluxe edition for like $17, which came with all three of the DLCs. I finished everything in that game. It's a really good arcade racer, much like the first one. And that's maybe the big problem with it, is it's very much like the first game. And I would say if you have Horizon 5, maybe that Hot Wheels stuff is actually more crazy than what's in Hot Wheels Unleashed. But Unleashed 2 is a good game, and it's on Game Pass, so. Worth a go if you enjoy arcade racers. And then finally,
I can't remember if I played that. I know I played one of them.
You played the first one.
Okay.
We both played that one. Unleashed 2 came out in 2023. I think we all skipped it.
Okay. Well, I can play it free.
Back to file size. It's not massive. Like it's maybe like 15 gigs, which is cool. Big, but also not like.
No, it's
not just 80.
Totally fine.
Right. Like that's a reasonable size. Tons of different cars, like even the ones that aren't DLC. Like there's a lot of cool cars. And then there's like a lot that are also from the first game. So I think that's why I like rate it a little bit lower than the first one, even though it plays a little bit better. The courses are pretty cool. It's just not as, you know, you play that first one, you're like, this is really awesome. Like, and then it's like, oh, there's more of that with two. And finally, Lonely Mountain Snow Riders came out. You guys are like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Was that today?
Came out Tuesday.
Yes. I had a friend who played it. I am curious about it. So I do know what it is. Not.
So it's a sequel to Lonely Mountains is the franchise. The original game was Lonely Mountains Downhill, and that was a mountain bike game. Snow Riders is a skiing game, Same concept. They put you at the top of a mountain and you go down it. And like it's, you know, the single player is like you're trying to get down the mountain without crashing or getting down the mountain with a limited amount of crashes or in a certain amount of time. And that'll give you unlocks to unlock other trails and then harder modes. But what they've done with this one that's not in downhill is they've added a multiplayer mode, which is really neat. Like it's 8 players. You're all just going down the mountain at the same time. There's collision. So like you could totally just like get in front of somebody and then kind of ski stop and then they can hit you and fall over.
And they can shoot them.
Or yes, you could. It's fun. Like there's a good progression system in it now where if you're playing the multiplayer, like you're earning experience to unlock new skis. That was something I ran into a wall with the bike game is without having a multiplayer to consistently earn, you know, more experience. I couldn't unlock like the final bike in that game because I just wasn't good enough at the other trails. It's neat though. There's what they call Blue Diamond, which is the easy mode, which isn't necessarily easy. And then there's Black Diamond courses, which are the hard courses. It's cool. I think it's a fun little game. It's on Game Pass. Very chill. It's not like it's not gonna like knock your socks off, but it's a fun little racing game that I've been putting some time into. I think I've like 3 or 4 hours into it since it came out. So final thing, I watched the first few episodes of Castlevania Nocturne. The first season 2 just came out. That's good. Richter Belmont and Maria, who if you've played Symphony of the Night, Maria is the girl that shows up in that. And Richter is the one from Rondo of Blood. I believe he's also shows up at some point in Symphony of the Night. I don't know what they're adapting here, though. The original Castlevania series was like adapting Castlevania 3. I'm not sure what Nocturne is doing. It's in France during the Revolution. But it's still a very good like vampire animation thing based on Castlevania. All right, Earl. Why are we talking about Super Mario Brothers?
Why are we talking about Super Mario Brothers? So
what is Super Mario Brothers?
What is Super Mario Brothers? What indeed? So we had this idea. Well, I had this idea last year that it would be great if we did like an episode dedicated to all the video game movies and like ranking them by putting them in tiers. But this was I think more than half a year ago, and video games are booming right now to a degree. You know, we had a ton of great games come out. There's a ton of news, good and bad, that's always breaking. This year's only going to get worse. We have a brand new console launching. We have a crap ton of games coming out. A lot of shows and movies. I don't know if we have any movies this year, actually, to partake in. But I still like the idea. So I figured we would do something slightly different. Well, the same thing, just spread out a bit more. So instead of taking an episode to talk about some 60-some-odd video game movies, we would, you know, take, you know, a couple of minutes at the end of a podcast, maybe once a month or so. And, it, you know, we could do more than one. Like, we could probably chunk in a bunch of the Resident Evil movies at once. And just kind of, you know, talk through it real quick and see where we would rank them. And then, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, when this is over, we would actually have a proper tier list, I guess, of these video game movies that we can put out and, you know, add to as they come out. So we're talking about Super Mario Brothers because it is historically noted as the first video game movie. I think there are a few, I forget what OVA stand for, but there's a few like Japanese ones. I think like there's a Mario one from the 80s as well but we won't count that. One, it's not super accessible. Two, I think a lot of people tend to count Hollywood blockbuster movies as the genre. Mm-hmm. And again, this is something I just thought of today. So we will work the kinks out, because there are a few that, like I say, that don't fall into this realm because they might be DTV or they might be made for streaming, which I guess is still counts, but there are some that are there that are confusing. Like I said, I won't go through this today, Ruffy. If you follow me on Blue Sky, I posted my ranking, my tier list, and that has adjusted them up until right before Sonic 3. Sonic 3 is the only one I need to add to this. I would also just be using the Wikipedia article. So we're just going to go through. We're going to use the video game grading scale for this. So, you know, if you're grading video games, the highest tier is always S plus. Don't know why. A, B, D, and F. So again, Super Mario Brothers from 1993, starring Dennis Hopper, Bob Hoskins is the first one. Have you gentlemen seen the Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yep, I saw it recently.
Oh, okay. So wait, hold on. I have to ask, Jeff, do you own it?
I bought it on DVD, yeah.
Okay, because I was like, before we saw the show, they were like, "Do you own it?" I'm like, no. Chris is like, "I bet Jeff does."
It was the only, it was the only place you could watch it was buying it on DVD. There was no way to watch it, and yeah, I take that as a challenge.
There is. I don't know if it still is. It used to be.
Yeah, it might be out there now.
It used to be on the Internet Archive.
Got to be out there somewhere
because. There is a dedicated fan base to this movie. I don't know if it still exists, but there's like a Super Mario Brothers archive or Super Mario Brothers database website. Whenever I post about this on Twitter, they would always kind of remark. And so one of their big projects was they gathered all of like the work print footage and like scripts, and they recut the movie into something else. And I did watch that version of it many moons ago, like 3 or 4 years ago, probably during the pandemic. It's an interesting watch, but it's one of those things where I'm always hard pressed to recommend, because clearly the footage was not meant to come out. Extremely grainy, low RDO, sometimes missing effects and stuff like that. But it's an interesting experiment, and it's out there. So yes, Jeff, what do you think? What do you think of this movie?
Of the original Mario Brothers movie?
Yes, we know your thoughts on the new one.
I think it basically sucks, but it's like interesting. Which like I can't say about the new one. So
the new one's great.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But not interesting. Like it's kind of
not interesting.
But we'll get there in many, yes. Many, many moons between them. Because, there's 30 years between the two of them, I believe. Because I think Mario was in 2023, and this is in 93.
Yes.
There's a whole market that emerges in between these two.
Yeah, the Wikipedia article I'm looking at says, after Super Mario Brothers, Nintendo would not license another film based on Mario games until the Super Mario Brothers movie in 2023.
Not yep. Shocking.
No,
it's not just the movies. They stopped doing anything because that was the end of animated series for Mario. That was the end of like any real tie-ins for the longest time. I think only until the 2010s they started like even doing official Halloween costumes. Because a lot of the ones you would go to stores, they would always be like green from
Plumber.
Yeah. It was never Mario until recently. It really soured them on a lot of stuff.
Was everybody high when they made this movie? Like,
drunk. I think it was.
I think they famously were very, very drunk.
Okay.
Really? I just kind of feel like at the time, like people did not understand video games for
I don't think they understood it, but like if you ever watch any, and I've seen Rachel, like they will usually talk about like they would that because I don't think the director has final cut. I think, you know, the director, him and Bob Hoskins got into it.
And this is probably just a gig for a lot of people. It's like, whatever. I mean, this will make a ton of money, but who gives a fuck?
It's one of those weird things to think about because at the time, Mario was king of the world. But also, to your point, like, video games was so new. Like, this is, like, I mean, to put it into context, at this point, we had gotten already Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, and 3, and Super Mario World. So, like, it's a well, you know, developed universe. Like, you know the characters, you know the plot, you know.
It still was not, like, I mean, it was mainstream, I guess, but, like, video games were looked at differently up until probably this century, you know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't even say this century. I'd say this decade.
Yeah, yeah. It's like now it's just like everyone plays video games. So they're understood in a way that like it was seen as like this dork geek thing back then, or like, oh, it was a kid thing or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's very.
But also, I would also say, and this is what you'll get into when we talk about some of the other ones that come out right after Mario. Is like these were also not very heavy on story, so you have to sometimes kind of wholesale.
Yeah, you're adapting like something that's like beep boop like we're making a fucking movie out of this.
Like the outside of Super Mario Brothers 2, like the story for the Mario games is like gotta rescue the princess from the evil giant turtle dude.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Well, how do we make this like more like a movie?" And so they added all this crazy elements, which I think it, like that makes it interesting. To me, it's like it's strangely way less lazy than the new movie. But
yes, and I guess I will. When I first saw this movie, I hated it because it's nothing like Mario. It's nowhere near Mario. As I've grown and I've watched it more, I've seen it way too many times. Like I said, I've seen a fan cut version of this movie. I grew to appreciate it. This is what I tend to use as an example of a terrible adaptation, but a really interesting movie. Because as a movie, I think it works. It is a really fun, funky,
I don't know,
dystopian sci-fi film.
Well, there is like that's what's wild about it is like they go into the Mushroom Kingdom and it's like this dystopian sci-fi thing, and like then they get like fucking special powered boots and shit. You're just like, what the fuck is this, dude? Like, but
this was very much in the vein of there was what was that Sylvester Stallone movie that
like Demolition Man or something?
Demolition Man, and then like that type of weird sci-fi, like
yeah,
but like a good movie. I think if you like showed this to an adult at that time that knew nothing about Mario, they'd be like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, I don't know.
Even if they knew about Mario, they'd probably say, "What the fuck is
this?" Yeah, it's like this is going too far.
I think you'd say that more if you knew about Mario, but this again, this. To me, it's not out the realm of a Demolition Man or a what is the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie with Mars and
Recall?
Total Recall, yeah.
Like it's to me, a lot of this is not. I mean, I'm very much it feels like it was like someone saw Total Recall, not like the whole, but like the whole like desert planet and like you know these funky things and it's not out of that realm of like the late 80s, early 90s sci-fi where like...
But like for kids and also like who would ever make up this story? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't... I don't know.
Well, to be fair, I mean, it's not even the story of the game because it's like... Because one, it's not even Princess Peach. It's Daisy.
Daisy, yeah.
It's not the Mushroom Kingdom. It's
dinosaur. Oh, show, is it Yoshi in it? And he's like this scary looking, like yeah, the fucking an actual
dinosaur
baby.
And then Toad is like a musician. The Goombas are like the things
insane that looking
that you get.
This says semi humanoid dinosaur.
Yeah,
and then you have Dennis Hopper as I think it was King Koopa, wasn't he? Like not.
Yes, he was King
when
Koopa.
When was like when did King Koopa become Bowser?
I think Super Mario World is when they started to use the Bowser.
He's called Bowser. But he was called King Koopa through the first like the NES games.
Well, I mean his name is King Bowser Cooper.
Are you serious? His name is Bowser Koopa.
But I mean, it's Koopa Kids.
Fucking.
I mean, I don't know if that's his. I don't know if that's his full name, but I mean, he is King Koopa. But his first name is Kirby Bowser. It's the same way as Princess Peach Toadstool.
So, the Wikipedia here. One, I guess in Japan he is known as, like, he's not Bowser, he's Koopa in Japan.
Hell, up to this day.
And he's known as either King Bowser or King Koopa.
Yes.
And he is.
I want to say in the movie, though, they call him Koopa, didn't they? Like, he wasn't really referred to as Bowser.
He's Koopa. Yeah, he's not.
President Koopa.
President Koopa.
Yes. I don't think, even though World uses it, I don't think, like, I think it's kind of like the Eggman Robotnik thing where I think.
Yeah, it's like we're just changing the name halfway through. But, don't worry. Yeah, it's all consistent. We thought this through.
Yeah. Because it's very weird to go back and, like, all the animated cartoons at the time. He's King Koopa. In the first games, he's King Koopa. And then he's Bowser. And to be fair, they stuck with that for 30 years. But it's very weird. Because, like, the OG is very much King Koopa.
Yeah.
The intro of Super Mario Brothers 3, the animated series, is like, then King Koopa attacked.
It's like, yeah, where it's like, if you said that to a kid now, they'd be like, who the fuck is King Koopa?
Like... Yeah. Again, same thing with Princess. I don't know the last time they referred to as Princess. Wow, Princess Toadstool. But that's also her name.
Weird.
But yes, I mean, like, it's one of those things that would make more sense because, again, his kids are called the Koopalings, the Koopa kids.
So I thought they retconned that they're not his kids.
They're not his kids. Oh, Bowser Jr. is his kid.
Right.
Which I also
forget. You guys know the lore way.
I know that, but the reason that came up today is I always forget that Bowser Jr. and Baby Bowser, and there's a third one that all look the same, are three different characters.
Wow.
I only know about the Koopa kids not being Bowser's kids because there was some interview they did with Miyamoto. I think it was before Odyssey. And he clarified that they are not Bowser's kids. Only Bowser Jr.
Okay.
Yes. And this is nothing to do with it. I'm always just so flabbergasted because that's established in Sunshine. And part of the plot of Sunshine is Bowser Jr. thinks Peach is his mom. And Peach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a big thing in that, yeah.
And then I think at the end he asks, he's like, no, of course not. But we had to get this. I'm like, okay, this is what we're going with. Somehow, this is what Peach would spit out if she had sex with Bowser.
So I don't I remember, like, what Jeff said about, like, you know, when they go into the pipes and it's like the dystopian futuristic world with all the weirdos and shit. I don't remember anything about this fucking movie, though, other than, like, the weird performances from Mario, and evidently he's called Mario,
and
John Leguizamo's Luigi Mario.
Yeah, like, this is a Nintendo canon that, because technically speaking, they are the Super Mario Brothers.
It's so true. It makes
sense that their ass names would be Mario.
Oh, wow.
That's...
It is very dumb, but
it is worth watching if it's somewhere like you can watch it. Like,
it's so weird, yeah.
Yeah, it is like a time capsule for sure, and just an oddity. Like, we just, like, it was like watching, you know, you're like watching Hollywood try to figure out what to do with these things, and I kind of like here that early on they were like, well, we gotta figure out how to make them a movie. And, like, here it was just like, well, we're just going to, like, do, like, a sci-fi movie and figure out a way to make this work, you know? And, like, how can we come up with a story out of you need to save the princess? You know what I mean? Like, and it's bad. I think it's bad. You're all saying it's good. But it's, like, way more interesting than the new one, I think.
I think it's interesting. And, again, if you divorce it from... Again, as a Mario
fan, I think if you divorce it from
it's a terrible, terrible Mario movie. But I think the movie itself is interesting. And again, like a very, again, it's not high stakes sci-fi or anything like that, but it's a very interesting dystopian sci-fi. Because again, the world of the movie is well defined within the movie.
Yeah, it's just so
foreign for what you would think of for the source material.
Well, not just no. It's just like if you had, I will stick by this. Like if you had never heard of the Mario Brothers, never heard of the video game, whatever, and you watch this movie, you'd be like, this was made by like an insane person, right? Like this is like Charles Manson made this, right? Like. Because who would come up with this? There's plumbers. They get sucked into another world to save a princess. Like, none of it makes sense. Like,
when you say that, that is the plot of the Mario game, too.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. If you had never heard of the, like, again, if you're sitting someone down who had never heard of Mario Brothers, and they're watching this movie, they're like, what the fuck?
Again, I think it's well expanded in the movie because it's like she has that special necklace that connects the two worlds.
But like, why would anyone make this movie? Like, again, it's just the only reason this movie would ever exist is because it was trying to make sense. Like, how do we turn this NES game into a movie?
Other than that, no one would write this story.
Nobody would write this story. I don't know.
The 80s was full of out of coke. There's a lot of strange movies in the 80s. There's not Buck Rogers. Is it Buck Rogers?
Buck Rogers is a TV show.
Then what is the one with why can't I think of the guy from Jurassic Park?
Sam Neill?
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. What was he in
The Fly?
He's in a very funky 80s sci-fi movie.
The Fly.
No,
I mean, I was an 80s sci-fi movie.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Okay.
Wow, I see that. I'm looking at his filmography, but that's a name.
Yes, and that is also, as somebody who indulges in questionable movies from time to time, like there are some really out there concepts for movies. So I don't think this is this is a very simple sci-fi movie. I mean, there's really a movie I've watched because my friend hates me about a woman who falls in love with a man who turns into a dog. And that I'm like, yeah, okay, that does not make any sense, but sure, we're going with it. And she also loves green for some reason, and I don't think it's ever expanded in the movie. And if you want to see this movie, it's called Love on a Leash. You can usually find it on
what are we? Earl, I agree. Somebody would write this story. I don't know if it's not named Super Mario Brothers, though, if it gets, if, like, maybe it does. I don't know. Like, funding was weird back then.
I don't think it gets made in the same way. And I think this is one of those movies you'd find at Blockbusters on a Friday night and like, oh, that is interesting. And watch it and forget about it. If it did not have the Mario brand, we would not be talking about this movie 30 some odd years later. That much I will say.
So, well, and you're probably also not getting Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper, like Alan Silvestri did the music. Like I don't. We're probably not getting all that if it's not propped up by Nintendo.
Is this streaming anything now? I'm just curious.
No.
It is not on anything. Again, I think
they did do a 4K though.
Oh yeah, in Europe.
Oh, well, 4K is region free, so you could buy it if you want.
But the pay is I will look into it. I do. It's also technically, I guess, it was distributed by Disney because Buena Vista Pictures was them.
Yeah, Buena Vista was Disney.
You can't get the DVD. Like, I bought the DVD off of Amazon for $5, so.
I'm almost certain, again, this is made Nintendo. It's like, you burn every copy and you never let me see this again. because, like, yeah, it's weird that you would think somebody would license it, but, like, even if anything else, like, one of the free streaming services, like, throw it up on Tubi.
That's definitely a Tubi candidate.
Buy a DVD of it for $10.88 from Target.
There you go.
I do own it on DVD. Wait, let me see. Because this will come up over the course of this serious. I do own several video game movies on physical media. I think I own this on DVD, but I don't own... Hold on, let me double check. Because I have a little video game wall. It's a very small collection. It's only like the Resident Evil movies, Prince of Persia, Double Dragon, The Wizard. Okay, it's more than...
Where are you?
Blu-rays, are they region free?
No, I don't think so. I think 4Ks are. So, like, if you got, you know how you like to do those combo packs where it's like you get the 4K and the Blu-ray of a movie.
Right.
If you bought one from the UK, the 4K should play on your player, but the Blu-ray will not, which is a shame. So, like, I've avoided buying, like, It Follows got a 4K release in the UK. But like the secondary disc, the Blu-ray where they put all the extras on, you would not be able to watch. So like got I just it. Avoid buying those.
Yeah, so Amazon has a Blu-ray up, but there actually is a flag at the bottom saying that it's a region B2, it won't play in North America.
Yeah. But yeah, 4K, like again, it's weird. So like here's another good example. I've really wanted Dawn of the Dead in 4K, and you could get from you know UK,
mm-hmm.
but all the extras and all the alternate versions of the film and et cetera are on the Blu-ray, which will not play. So like, I don't know if I'm gonna pay it. Like, it's not cheap. It's probably like $50 at least for that, right? I'm not gonna pay that much and not be able to like watch half the shit on it, like. Yeah, it would be really great to have that movie in 4K, but I'll just wait for it to hopefully, you know, one day before I die, it'll pop up in the U.S. Good old Trump will fix this shit.
With that tariff pricing?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, great. Earl, how are we ranking? You said S-plus was top, but are we doing like A-plus, B-plus?
No, it's just straight up. S-plus, A, B. D and F. So
I saw your S plus, if that's the cream of the crop. Shit.
Again, you'll find that that's not what I would consider many great ones. My criteria tends to be they're very entertaining movies. Because I mean, even the Sonic movies that people are fans of, I think are decent kids movies, but they're not like great movies to me.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from with this.
They're all 3 out of 5s.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. It's, I mean, to your point, we're not doing plus or minuses, but almost the entire thing would make a B minus across the a B or B minus for them. They're fun. They're good for what they are, but
I'm just looking at your thing, and I'm like, so I guess The Last of Us was the one good thing that was ever made, because...
And that's a TV show.
I know, but it's better than all these.
Did you not egg Fallout?
I liked Fallout.
And I think video game cartoon or video game TV shows are a bit better, because I think Pokemon's longevity's there. Digimon was interesting. That's the bus Fallout. The Castlevania stuff is good.
Have more time to tell flesh the story out. Yeah,
I almost feel like The Last of Us doesn't count because that kind of was a TV show. Like, you know what I mean? Like the way I hate to give it to that one. Yeah, like
what I'm
you know, it's more interesting to me that like something like Castlevania is good. Like, oh, that's cool. Like,
I'm almost curious to see what happens to The Last of Us, because I mean, there's only 2 games. And some DLC, but they covered most of the DLC for the first one.
I
hear like the second game might be split into 2 seasons.
Yeah, it is.
Because
yeah.
I mean, it's a hit show. You don't want it to run for 2 seasons and make it's done, or because you can't really wait for the next game because it stars a young. She's not a child, but she's not like she's a teenager, and she.
We don't know what they're gonna do for the third one. So
that's true, but I just like she'll age. But
yes,
I think the show is pretty much planned to cover the first 2 games, and it'll be 3 seasons. I mean, would they decide to go beyond that if there's another game or something? I don't know. Are they making Last of Us 3?
They likely will.
they not yet. Away, but the next game is Intergalactic.
Yes.
Is what?
Intergalactic, the one they announced at the Game Awards.
Okay.
The space game.
Yeah. I just see them wanting to try new things. They seem like the studio doesn't want to keep revisiting the same thing over and over, but who knows?
Well, I mean, they were also doing the, I don't even know if it's still around, they were doing the multiplayer version of it.
No, that got killed, I think.
That got killed, but they were, like, I think, like, it's weird. I thought they would have, I mean, again, I thought they would have wrapped it up with 3 just because Uncharted did 5 games, technically speaking. But, yeah, it seems like they were just kind of good with the 2 for now. Maybe they're waiting until they get an idea. But I assume...
Well, is Neil Druckmann's...
Yeah, and he's working on Fantastic.
Because he indicated recently, like, that he kind of indicated that he thinks that type of game. Point. So if he thinks that, I'm like, I don't know, are they going to keep doing those types of games? I don't feel like they might branch out.
Oh, well, Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet looks very much
another one of those games.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we didn't get a lot. It's only like a minute and a half trailer, but it looks like another cinematic kind of action shooter. So,
I mean, just because he thinks they're still doesn't mean he can make something else.
Right. Or that Sony would let him make something else, right?
Right.
All right, Earl. Let's rank Super Mario Brothers.
Yes. Okay, so I feel like I'm in the minority. I mean, again, Midas is out there in the public. I'm an A for this. Again, less so as an adaptation of Mario, more so that I do find it an interesting sci-fi movie.
Okay. I gotta go see. As I said, I don't remember all that well. What I do remember is the insanity of, like, the dystopian, what was it called? Dino Hatton.
Yeah, when they go I knew it was in the Mushroom Kingdom. I knew it had something.
Yeah, Dino Hatton. That's a great name, though. it's very weird.
I think I have to agree with Chris too. I'm going to reject Earl's interpretation because as soon as you take the Mario name and you slap it on there, like you've said, this isn't a new dystopian whatever. It's a Mario movie, and you've made a really bad one.
Jeff?
The original Mario Brothers movie?
Yep.
It's not good, but like it's pretty interesting, and it's worth checking out if you like oddities, or if you are just a, you know, someone who likes video games. It's like a C.
Okay.
So I think we'll end up, I mean, everybody gave it a C, which is one thing we don't have, I think.
I saw that, like, on your thing. I'm like, why does it go B to D when you just have nothing
to say? Earl doesn't hate things. Earl's very a nice
that's person. Not, that's yeah, mid.
Not nice. Oh, there's mid. There's a ton of D's and F's here, so that's not true. There are some that we'll get to that it did not like. It's not the first. Well, actually, no. Wait, what? No, Double Dragon, I do enjoy as well. So yes, I'm just gonna. I'll press it down and say a D. Yay, nay, or should we add a C? Sure.
Eyes are not a C. What the fuck are you talking about, bro? Are you inventing shit?
There should be no E. We shouldn't have an E.
It's not an E.
No. There should be S, A, B, C, D, F, right?
Yes.
And S plus? Do you have S plus? I heard you mention S plus.
There are no S pluses. Doesn't exist.
I did S plus because that's what video game right
things. Yeah, that's.
I get it.
Like that's.
I'm sorry, but why would you have
C there, Jeff? But
yeah, that was just oversight. I think that was a tier of this I was using at the time. Didn't have C. I just like why doesn't it have a C?
Okay, well I have on our spreadsheet. I've put our rankings in here. I don't have a joint ranking. So are we agreeing for all of us that it's a C?
I think so. I think it's gonna have like one giant miss. But okay. One like miss that we can all agree on. So I think a C is fair.
Okay. All right. What is our next movie, Earl, that we're going to discuss? Yeah. So we can prep for this in a month.
It's going to be Double Dragon.
Okay.
Came out in 1994. And features, no, wait, who is it? Is it Christine? Which one is it?
Dying Man. Dying Man is in that movie.
Dying Man. Oh, yes, Emiliano. There we go. I know it was one of the late 80s heartthrobs.
So is this Mark Dacascos and Scott Wolf?
Yes. And is
Alyssa Milano.
Looks like it's
Scott currently Wolf.
Available on Amazon Prime Video. And
yep.
So I can actually watch it.
Yep, you can watch it. It's also on Roku or Peacock or Fubo. I don't know. It's on Tubi as well.
Oh, it's on everything apparently.
Yes, it's everywhere.
I was going to say, if you have an Ivory card, it's also on Hoopya. So, I mean, at least it's an easy movie to watch. So people are not ashamed of this. I am slightly ashamed of it. I think I own this on, I don't know if it's 4K or Blu-ray, but I think it's a steelbook of it that I bought. Yeah, maybe it's a 4K because this does not match what I have. Again, I can just look over there, but yes, it's the 4K from MVD.
All right, so we'll all watch Double Dragon over, and sometime in February we will rank Double Dragon from 1993,
1994. Okay, I think 94 is this in Street Fighter.
To lay out from the beginning, Earl wasn't sure if we were getting any video game movies this year. We are getting at least 5.
What?
Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
Oh.
Mortal Kombat 2.
I forgot about
that. The Minecraft movie, which I completely blanked on. That was a trailer for that shit.
I mean, you should blank that out of your memory. Yep,
absolutely. Until Dawn.
Oh, that what I do as well. That's also out in what, March, April. And we just had
very a trailer. Soon. Yep.
We did not talk about that. That had a trailer last week.
Which I still haven't seen.
I still haven't seen it either.
And then Return to Silent Hill. So those are at very least those 5 are coming this year.
Is anyone interested in doing the Silent Hill one? Is it like is this gonna be a real movie?
I mean, I've watched the other two Silent Hill movies. They're fine.
The first one it was decent and done by like Christopher Gans.
Yep, he's come back for this one.
Oh, he's the guy. Yep. Wait. Okay, he did the first one, and no, that's it. Okay.
He's directing the new one.
Okay.
So,
that's a very weird career. Just do a movie every 20 years.
About that, right? Like,
wait, did he do nothing in between them?
He literally
did a movie.
He did like Beauty the Beast. Which one?
He did Beauty and the Beast in 2014. Not a Beauty and the Beast that any of us have ever seen. But,
The
one that I've heard of is Brother of the Wolf, which I've heard of, I have not seen.
Wow,
that's crazy, dude. Like, imagine that's your career. What'd you do? Silent Hill movies. Like, but like,
yes.
Isn't there only like two of those? Yeah.
This is only going to be his fifth movie in 30 years.
I mean,
he's a super prolific. he picks his projects. All right. Well, Double Dragon in a month. We'll be back next week with some more video games. It is almost time for the deluge to hit us, but I think we still have a little bit of time. So next week, let's do some predictions next week. You guys like think up like 3 games that you think would be that from what we know so far on the schedule that are like you would pick for game of the year without having played them.
Okay.
Oh,
And then we'll just write those down, and we can revisit them at the end of the year.
All right.
All right. So we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.